Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Dalet. We begin at the Mishnah about 10-15 lines down from the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Harei Zeh Gitech, the man tells his wife, this is going to be your get, and then he adds, however, a condition, a Tanai, and he says, Almanaz, only on the Tanai, on the condition, Shetitni Li Mozaim Zuz, when you give me 200 Zuz, you give me $200, so then this will be your get. So the Mishnah tells us, Harei zu migureshes, this woman is considered, in fact, divorced, this sitein, and she has to give him the money. Now, the Gemara will explain, obviously, she's not divorced. If she doesn't give him the money, it doesn't mean that here she's divorced, and then she has the option of giving him the money or not. We'll have two different definitions, what exactly the sitein means, but everybody agrees that she's not divorced if she doesn't fulfill the tnai of giving him the 200 zuz. If the husband were to say, Harei zagitech, I want you to give me the $200, the 200 zuz, and then you'll be divorced, but you have to give it to me within 30 days, or else the divorce doesn't go through. So, then, if she fulfills the tanai, in other words, if she gives him the 200 zuz within 30 days, then she's divorced. If she doesn't give it within the 30 days, she's not considered divorced. Now, that will also be discussed more in the Gemara. The Mishnah will then be missing certain pieces, because the next piece of the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. It doesn't follow along in the discussion. And the Gemara will say there's now over here a chisuri mechsura. There are words missing. But in any event, we'll just read the Mishnah the way we have it. We now have a statement, seems to be a non sequitur. Amar Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel tells us the following din, that once upon a time there was a Maisa Bitsidon. The story that it followed occurred in a city known as Sidon. What happened? Be'echad, there was a man, She'amar li'ishto, told his wife, Harei zeh gitech, almanaz shetitni li, it's talisi. Here is your get, but on the condition that you give me a certain garment, a certain cloak, a certain coat, itztala is a certain fancy type of a garment that I had given you, and I want you to return it to me. And when you return it to me, then you'll be divorced. So it's a tanai that you're divorced if you give me back my itztalas. Now, but she had lost this garment, and she wasn't able to go give it to him. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel quotes the Chachamim the same. Rabbi Chachamim, titein lo as domeha, as long as she gives him the value of the itzdalis. Let's say the itzdalis worth 200 zuz. So the garment was supposed to be returned, but she didn't have the garment, but she gave him the 200 zuz value of the garment. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, the Chachamim say that's also a valid returning of the itzdalis, and the woman is in fact divorced. Now again, this seems to be a non sequitur. It has nothing to do with what the Reisha said. And then we'll explain there was some details missing from the Mishnah, Chisur Vechzor, which we'll get to when we get to tomorrow. Okay, the Gemara starts off by asking the question that I mentioned at the beginning. It says that the woman, if the husband said, "You're going, this is your get, amanash titli mosayim zuz, you give me 200 zuz," so the Mishnah said, "Harei zu migureshes," she is in fact divorced, but then it says, "V'sitein," and she has to give him the money, implying that in fact, she would be divorced even if she didn't give him the money. And that obviously isn't the case. So what does it mean, v'sitein? So we have two definitions over here, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna amar, v'hi sitein. She will be divorced when she gives him the money. Now, Rav Huna is telling us that in this situation, it's a tanai, but the fulfillment of the tanai means that retroactively, from the moment that she got the get, she is considered a divorced woman. So once she does give the money, so the divorce actually occurred from the time that she got the get. So let's say 10 days after she got the get, she gives him the 200 zuz. So when is she divorced? Rav Huna says she's divorced from 10 days ago when she got the get, not when she gives him the 200 bucks, when she gives him the 200 zuz. Whereas Rav Yehuda amar lo, l'chashiditein, when she got the get, she's not yet considered divorced. She's not divorced, she's not divorced. Oh, she gives the 200 zuz. Now she is divorced from that point in time, not 10 days earlier when she got the get, but when she gives the 200 zuz. So a fundamental difference in understanding between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda as to when the divorce takes effect, when the tanai is fulfilled. Do we say that the divorce is retroactively effective from the moment she got the get, when the tanai is fulfilled? That's Rav Huna's opinion. Or do we say, no, she's only, in fact, divorced from the moment that the tanai is fulfilled, even though that's 10 days later or any period of time after she actually got the get. No, what's the nafkamina? Bottom line is the woman's divorced. My benayu, so the obvious nafkamina is, what happens if ika benayu, if there was the following difference between the two opinions of Huna and Rav Yehuda, shiniskara haget o sha'avad, if the get was ripped up or the get was lost, and the get therefore is not present at the time that the 200 zuz are being given. So according to Rav Huna, mar behi titein, and it's richei, men a get sheni. The get took effect retroactively at the time of the giving of the get when she subsequently gives the money 10 days later. So therefore, in this situation, who cares that the get is no longer around when she gives the money? It was around at the time that the get was given, obviously, and therefore that's when it takes effect. And therefore, even though the get is no longer present, it's been ripped up, it's been lost, something happened to it, and it's no longer around at the time of the giving the money, Rav Huna says that makes no difference. Rav Huna says, Ain tzricha menu get sheni, because she is divorced retroactively when the get was present at the time of the delivery of the get. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Amar, no, since the get only takes effect at the moment that the 200 zuz is given, and at that moment the get was niskara, it was ripped up, or it was lost, or she'adad, so therefore, tzricha menu get sheni, that get's not a valid get, and therefore the woman's still a married woman. If she wants to be a divorced woman, the husband has to give her a new get. So that's a nafkamina, a nika benayah between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda's understanding of the Mishnah. Now, we have a similar machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in regards to Kiddushin. This is a machlokes in regards to Gittin. Utnanami gabi Kiddushin. We have the same machlokes in a Mishnah that we have in Kiddushin in regards to the giving of Kiddushin als Tanai. Ki agav, it's exactly the same thing. Ditnan. We learned there in the Mishnah in Kiddushin on Dav Samach, Ha'omer li'isha, if a man says to his wife, to a woman he wants to be his wife, Hareya mikudeshesli, you will become mikudeshesli, you'll be the first stage of marriage, Almanas attain loch mosaim zuz, on the condition that I give you 200 zuz. In other words, here the husband is giving the wife the 200 zuz as money for kiddushin. Now, when is she married? When he says to her, "You are my wife." When I give you 200 zuz, or when he gives the 200 zuz. So harei mikudeshes yitin. The Mishnah says that she is mikudeshes, and of course he has to give her the money in order for the tanai to be fulfilled and for her to be mikudeshes. Now, and we had the same discussion over there. My v'yitain, they asked over there, what does it mean v'yitain? So we have the same achlokas. Rav Huna Amar v'hu yitain. When he gives the money, she retroactively is considered mikudeshes from the time of him telling her, hareat mikudeshesli, al tanai, that I'm giving you 200 zuz. So you're mikudeshes from that moment, even though she gets the 200 zuz from him 10 days later. So Rav Yehuda Amar, no, l'chash yitain. They're not considered married yet when he gives her the 200 zuz. At that moment, 10 days later, that's when the marriage takes effect. And we have the same question. What's the nafkamina? May benayu and ikum benayu. We have the same exact nafkamina. The difference would be, sheparshto yodav kibla kiddushin meyacher, when she went and got kiddushin from someone else during that 10-day period of time, in between him saying, Aret mukadeshes, and when he actually gives her the 200 zuz. So according to Rav Huna mar v'yitein, when he gives her the money, he then is retroactively married to her 10 days earlier, before she got the kedusha from the second man, and therefore, tenor ba'abahu, this giving the money was just a fulfillment of the tanai, and therefore, mekayem tenor, as soon as he fulfills his tanai, gives her the 200 zuz, the ozil, so then she is considered retroactively married from that point in time, and therefore, the second man's kedusha is null and void. It has no effect. You can't give kedusha to a married woman. She is a married woman. So according to Rav Huna, she's married to the first guy, not to the second guy. Rav Yehuda says the exact opposite. Rav Yehuda ma l'cha sheyitein. She only becomes married at the moment that the tanai is fulfilled. So 10 days later, when he gives her the 200 zuz, that's when she would be married if there was no potential husband number two. But here, there is a potential husband number two. At day five, this guy hops in and gives her regular kiddushin, which she accepts. Don't ask me why she accepted it, but she did. So, l'chiyoyev lahu tahabu kiddushin. When he gives her the 200 zuz, only then, 10 days later, does the first husband become married to her. But now, hashta lohabu kiddushin. But there's another guy that got married to her in between. Husband number two married her on day five after the first proposal, and therefore, in that situation, the first guy's kiddushin didn't take effect yet. It's only going to take effect on day 10, but now it can't take effect on day 10 because she's a married woman. She married husband number two. So here's a huge nafkamina again between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna says the kiddushin takes effect retroactively from the moment that the kiddushin was given, even though the money was only given 10 days later, and therefore she's mikudeshes from that point in time, and nobody else can give her kiddushin after that. And Rav Yehuda says the opposite. He says, no, she's only mikudeshes from the first husband at day 10 when she gets the money, and therefore if somebody else was mikdashes her before then, so that other person is her husband, and the kiddushin of the first guy when he gives her the 200 bucks is null and void because she's already a married woman to the second husband and it can't take effect. Okay, so we have the exact case over here in our Gemara by Gittin, and we have the parallel case in the Gemara in Kiddushin regarding Kiddushin, and the Gemara says, why do we need both cases? Sutzricha. So we'll explain that we need it both according to Rav Huna and both according to Rav Yehuda. So, di yashvin and gabi Kiddushin, if we only had the case by Kiddushin, so I would have said, in that situation, you know what? Baha, kama Rav Huna, vu yite. It will be retroactively effective when he gives the money, but that only is in regards to the case of Kiddushin, the case that we have in the Gemara in Kiddushin, Mishum Dilikuruva Khasi, because that woman is being brought into the marriage and he's obviously desirous of that, and therefore maybe only in that situation would Rav Huna say that we go retroactive and say that the Kiddushin is Chal the moment the 200 zuz is given, but it's Chal retroactively. But in regards to Gerishin, where he's distancing himself from her, he's divorcing her. So in this situation, maybe Rav Huna says, you know what, we want to delay that divorce as much as possible. Maybe they'll reconcile, we don't want divorce. So if we say in that situation, maybe Rav Huna would say, don't let the Gerishin be chal until the actual giving of the money. Maybe maybe he agrees in that situation to Rav Yehuda that it should only occur at the moment that the 200 zuz is given by the woman to the husband. That's what the Gerishin takes place, not retroactively. So therefore, that's why you need to tell me the case of the Gerishin. No, just tell me the case of the Gerishin, and won't I know both? The Yashmin and Gabi Gerishin, and if you only told me the din in regards to Gerishin, Rav Huna says that it takes effect retroactively. Because, behold, come Rav Huna, v'hititein, there Rav Huna says when she gives the money to her husband, the divorce takes effect retroactively, only in that situation, mishum delo kasiv limizbe'ah, because the husband is not going to be ashamed to tell the wife, listen, you want your divorce? $200. You want the divorce? $200. He's not going to be embarrassed. Doesn't like her, unfortunately, and he is only interested in getting rid of her. So in that situation, since he'll constantly pester her for the $200, or else you're not divorced, so therefore, Rav Huna said in that situation, the Gerishin takes effect retroactively from the moment that the get was given, not when the money is transferred from the woman to the husband. However, Aval Gabi Kiddushin, in regards to Kiddushin, where of course the husband wants to marry the wife, and she's going to be embarrassed to say, listen, you know, we're not married until you give me the 200 zuz. The chsifa limizbay, you know, this is a loving relationship. Okay, it's not getting off to the best starts by these financial difficulties, but she's not going to go to ask the husband, no, you owe me $200, or else we're not married. You owe me $200, you're not married. She's going to be embarrassed to do that. So therefore, I might have thought, hey, Mamodi, let Rav Yehuda, maybe Rav Huna would be Moda to Rav Yehuda in that situation and say that, in fact, the Kiddushin is only chal when the 200 zuz is given from the husband to the wife. Therefore, kamash b'lan, you need both cases, the Gerishin case and the Kiddushin case, to show us the strength of Rav Huna. Now, we have a similar discussion. The Gemara goes through this for why Rav Yehuda says both are necessary. Now, it would be enough to say that Rav Huna needed both cases, so we have to sort of show the side of Rav Huna, but the Gemara says the same thing applies actually to Rav Yehuda as well. V'yashvin and kabi Kiddushin, if we only had the case by Kiddushin, that the woman is only considered married according to Rav Yehuda at the time that she gets the 200 zuz, not retroactively, but only when she gets the 200 zuz, I would have said, Baha kam Rav Yehuda l'chashiyitain. Only in that situation does Rav Yehuda say that it's not retroactive, that it's only given the Kiddushin at the time that she actually gets the 200 zuz, because in that situation, Mishum d'chsifo l'mizbay, because she's obviously going to be embarrassed to ask her husband, no, you want to be my husband, you got to give me $200. So she's going to be embarrassed to do that. So therefore, it makes sense that Rav Yehuda would say that it only takes effect when she actually gets the money. Abu Gabi Gerishin, but in regards to the Gerishin, as we said, the l'chosiv l'mizbay, the husband's not going to be at all embarrassed to say, listen, my dear ex-wife, you want to be my ex-wife, give me the 200 zuz, or else you're not my ex-wife. So in that situation, maybe Ema Mo, maybe in that situation, Rav Yehuda would be mode to Rav Huna, then in fact, the Gerishin would take effect retroactively because the husband's not embarrassed to go and ask for the money. So, Ema mode leil Rav Huna. Now, V'yashmin agabi Gerishin, so just tell me the Gerishin case, I would have said, only in that situation, because mishum d'l'ruchuka kasi, because it's a distancing over here. They're getting divorced. So therefore, in that situation, we want to delay the divorce as much as possible. So maybe there, and only there, does Rav Yehuda say that the divorce only takes effect when the money is given over. However, Aval Gabi Kiddushin L'Kruva Kasi, they're coming together. Maybe Rav Yehuda will be Moda, again, to Rav Huna, Ema Moda Leila Rav Huna, that in fact the Kiddushin are Chal retroactively. So therefore, you need both cases, Tzricha, you need both cases, both according to Rav Huna and according to Rav Yehuda, to each show the full strength of their respective Shitas. Okay. Gemara now is going to question Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda is the sheet that it says it takes effect only when the money is actually given, in the case of divorce or in the case of the marriage. It's not retroactive. Mesa, we have a Gemara, the Braisa, that seems to clearly say that it is retroactive, and therefore Kasha and Yehuda. The man tells his wife, this is your get, just like we had in the Mishnah, here's your get, when you give me 200 zuz, that's when the get will be effective, that's the Tanai. So, but here the Bryce says, even if the get is ripped up or the get is lost, once she gives the 200 zuz to the husband, she is in fact Megureshes. And therefore you see that it clearly took effect retroactively from the moment that the money was given, because that's when the get was around. So the money is given, it takes effect retroactively, not at the time of the giving of the money, because the get's no longer around, then it wouldn't work. Exactly like Rav Huna, Kasha, and Rav Yehuda. Furthermore, the Braisa says, Uli Acher lo sinase, and she's certainly not allowed to marry anybody else, however, Ashatitin, because maybe she won't give the money and she's still an Ashatitin, and therefore, obviously, she can't get married to somebody else. So that's not a Kasha on Rav Huna or Rav Yehuda. That's just the facts of the case, that we don't let her get married until she is, in fact, 100% divorced. But she is 100% divorced from the time of the original divorce being given. Okay, Kasha on Rav Yehuda. Another Kasha on Rav Yehuda. But, oh, Tanya, we learn another Braisa. Again, a Kasha on Rav Yehuda. Harei zekitech, the man tells his wife, here's your get. Amenash shetit neli mozaim zuz. Again, the same circumstances. Here's your get when you give me 200 zuz. So, when does the get take effect? So that's the machlokes of Yehuda. But here the Braisa says, umeis, the guy dies. Now, they don't have children. So therefore, she would fall to Yibam. If she's divorced, she doesn't fall to Yibam. If she's not divorced, she does fall to Yibam. Now, Nosta, what happens if she gives the 200 zuz, but after the husband died? So here we have a machlokes, but they're both going in accord with Rav Huna. And it'll be a kasha on Rav Yehuda. What's the machlokas over here in this Braisa? So the Tanakhama says that if she gave the money after the husband died, it won't work. She has to give the money to the husband before the husband dies. So if, in fact, Nosna, if she gave the husband the money before he died, so then she is considered divorced retroactively, and therefore she, in fact, is considered a divorced woman from the time that the get was given to her, not when she gave the money to her husband. So as long as she gave the money to her husband, the Tanakh says, before the husband died, so the divorce is effective. And, of course, she doesn't fall to Yibam. Because in that situation, she's a divorced woman, and it's Eishes Ach Shelo B'Malka Mitzvah. And of course, she can't marry him, and there certainly is no Mitzvah of Yibam. So, Ein Hezkut L'Yavam. However, Lo Nosna, if she never gives the money before the husband died, so then Zekut L'Yavam. Then she does, in fact, she's not a divorced woman, and she, of course, would then have to fall to Yibam. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, No Senes L'Aviv O L'Ochiv. She could give the money even after the husband died by giving to the husband's father if he has no children, obviously, and he had no brothers, or only Achiv, or to give it to one of the brothers if they were the ones that Yarishin him, or to whoever the Karav is who would inherit. The estate would belong to that Karav. There's no father, no brothers, it's a cousin. So the cousin's the one that inherits her husband. So therefore, in that situation, as long as she fulfills it tonight, even after the Misa of the husband, nevertheless, it retroactively goes back. Now, both positions over here, the Tanakhama, as well as Rosh Hashanah Leo, both agree that it goes back retroactively. Because Ad kan lo pligi, elo de mar sabar li velo liyarshi, u mar sabar li vafil liyarshi. The Tanakhama's approach is that, yes, the condition must be fulfilled, but the husband was saying, you got to give me the money. He didn't say he'd give it to my yarshim. Whereas Rosh Hashanah Leo says it's implied that you can give it to me, or if I die, you could still fulfill the Tanai after my death and give it to the Yarshim, and the get retroactively took effect while I was still alive. So it's not a get liachamisa. So that's the only thing that Tanakhama and Rishon Gamliel are arguing about. What did the person mean when he says, Shetit no li mozaim zuz? Tanakhama says it means li, you have to give it to me. Whereas Rishon Gamliel says it means you have to give it to me or my estate. And that would be fine. So both of them say it like Rav Huna. Dekuli amo miya tenor heavy. Everybody agrees that this is the Tanai. And when the Tanai is fulfilled, so then retroactively, both the Tanakhama and Rishon Gamliel say that retroactively, actively, she is a divorced woman. Therefore, Tiyufta the Rav Yehuda, another kasha on Rav Yehuda, because we have the first brisa and now the second brisa that seemed to go in accord with Rav Huna, and both of them are a kasha, Tiyufta to Rav Yehuda. So what does Rav Yehuda answer? So Amalach Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda would say, Homani, no, whose opinion is this in these two brises? This is the opinion of Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe he. What is that? I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rebbe. Rav Huna said, name of Rav Yehuda Nasi, name of great Rebbe, Kala Omer Almanas, when you use the word Almanas, it's as if, ke'omer, it's as if you said, me'achshav domi. It means from right now. So therefore, al-menas is a special law shown over here that means from right now. That is Rebbe's opinion. Uplegi rabbonin aleh. The rabbonin disagree with Rebbe. They say, no, we hold that it doesn't take effect me'achshav. Al-menas doesn't mean me'achshav. It means when you fulfill the tonight, that's when the kiddushin or the gerishin will take effect. And no, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amri Kirabon. I hold like the Rabbanan. Okay, you're right. These two braises are Rabbi's opinion. Okay, they disagree with me, but I hold like the Rabbanan. Therefore, I have a Tanoic source. So therefore, the braises don't negate me. They're not a Tiyuvta to me. They're a Machlokas Tanoim. So, just like there's a Machlokas Tanoim, so there's a Machlokas between me and Rav Huna. Now, the Amr of Zera, adds further, and he says, when we were in Bavel, Rav Zera used to travel back and forth through Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. We all have all the time, Kiyosar of Zera, Kiyosar of Dimi, Kiyosar Ravin. When they would come from Bavel to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, they would transfer over the Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they would return, and they would transfer back the Torah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. In any event, Amr of Zera says, when we were in Bavel, Kiyavinim Bavel, Amrina, we said, Ki ha de Amar, Ravuna Amar Rebbe, this din that Ravuna brought down the name of Rebbe, which is called Omer Almanaz, call me my Akshav Dami, is Pligi Rabbanan Aleh. We had that this was a Machlokas, as was just stated by Rabbi Yehuda. However, that was when I was in Babel. Ki Slika, when I went to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachte L'Ravasi, the Yosef Ekama Mishmei Rav Yochanan. I heard there a different understanding of this. The Ravasi had said over the name of Rav Yochanan that Hakol Modim Yomer Almanaz. No, in fact, there is no machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim in regards to Almanas. Everybody agrees that Almanas means Me'achshav, Ke'omer, as if he said Me'achshav Dami. Almanas means, according to everybody, not only Rebbe, but even according to Chachamim, means Me'achshav. No, what are Rebbe and the Chachamim having machlokas on? Lo nechlikul, the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, Ela b'mei hayom uliachamisa. When he used the following lashon, not Almanas, he says, this get should be effective from today and after Misa. And in that situation, that's where we have the machlokas between Rebbe and Yehuda Nosis. We turn to Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So, Vartanya, and I'll show you, this is Benichusa, Rashi says that this is the correct way to understand it, the way Rav Asi understood it from Rav Yochanan. Because it says in the following Braisa, Vartanya, this is a proof to that. Mehayom Uliachamisa. The Braisa says, if a man says to his wife, here's your get, it should be effective Mehayom from today and also after my death. So, the opinion of the Chachamim is get, they no get. We're not sure over here. Diri Chachamim, does it constitute a valid get, or does it not constitute a valid get? Maybe, when he means me'ayom, it meant from today. And therefore, even if the tonight is fulfilled later on, the get is effective retroactively, as if he said me'achshav. So, just from me'achshav. But here he added uliachamisa. And when you add the achamisa, that could be understood as a retraction of the me'ayom. He says me'ayom, no, I mean liachamisa. And therefore, it wouldn't be a valid get. So therefore, according to Chacham, we're not sure what Mehayom L'Achamisa means, and therefore, it's a Sofek get. Get, but maybe it's not a get. Sofek ain't no get. Get, ain't no get. It's both, so to say, which is neither. But you have the worst outcome of both worlds. That's the opinion of Chacham. And here, only in this situation, Rabbi Omer Kozeh get. Like this is considered a get. It's as if he said that this is a get als Tanai. Hayom, it's effective now. And as long as the get is fulfilled before I die, the tanai is fulfilled before I die, so then it is retroactively going to be effective. So Rebbe only holds that this is the case. Rav Asi Amar Yochanan says the machlokis only occurs in the situation of Yom Liachamisa. But there is no machlokis in Rebbe and the Chachamim in the case of a get al-menas. When he uses the Loshon al-menas, everybody agrees that that's me'achshav. Now, Ula Rebbe Yehuda, the Omar ba'almanas pligi, but according to the answer that Rabbi Yehuda just gave, that the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is in the situation of almanas. So why did they give the machlokas in the case of almanas? You should have said ademiflege b'me'ayom le'achamisa liflege b'almanas. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a much stronger machlokas to say that they're arguing with the case of almanas. So why does the Braisa only say that they're arguing in a case of k'hayom? So the Braisa, if there really was a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim in the case of Almanas, the Braisa should have said so. The fact that the Braisa only mentions the case Me'ayom Alachamisa seems to indicate that in the case of Almanas they're in agreement. And Kashan Rebbe Yehuda, so one says no. In fact, the Braisa tells us Me'ayom Alachamisa, but also in the case of Almanas. Why did it say the case of Me'ayom Alachamisa, even though it's also true in the case of Almanas? Lodiacha kocho de Rebbe, to show us the strength of Rebbe Shita, that even in the case of Mehayom Leachamisa, even there it is a valid get. And certainly in the case of Almanas, it's a valid get according to Rebbe. The Chachamim disagree with him in both cases, but it only mentioned the case in the Brisa of Mehayom Leachamisa to show us the strength of Rebbe's Shita, that even in this situation, it is a valid get. The Gemara says, why don't you tell me the case of Almanas? If you're only telling me one, so why did you decide to show the strength of Rebbe Shita by giving me only that case? Show me the strength of the Chacham Shita by giving the case of Almanas, that even according to Yehuda, they argue in the case of Almanas. So the Gemara says, no, with the famous rule we have throughout Shas, if you're going to accent on one of the two sides of the Machlokes, Koach dehetera odifle. We always accent on the side that shows the kula, the bigger chiddush, if you wish, because Rebbe is saying that it's a get, even in the case of Mehayom Leachamisa. So that is a hetera. That is, wow, he's saying that this is effective. It's very easy to be machmer. Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? I don't know. So therefore, no. Are you allowed to do this on Yontif? I don't know. No. So it's very easy to be machmir. Machmir doesn't require any brains. Machmir doesn't require chidushim. Now, of course, sometimes if you're machmir on one thing, you're makel on something else. So that's a different discussion. However, when it's a situation where it's just a question of being machmir or being makel, and if you don't know, you're machmir, so okay, anybody can be a machmir. You don't have to be a great posek, you don't have to be a great talmud chacham to be machmir. However, to say something is mutter, oh, that requires already a certain level of understanding of chokhmah and of guts, and therefore we always want to accent lodiacha of the koach of hetera. So koach de hetera odifle, if we only can accent one of the two sides of the machlokes, so we'll always go and accent the sides of kula, of hetera. And therefore Rebbe, who's saying kozeh get, but in the scenario of Mayom Leachamisa, so that's a bigger chiddush than to say that it's not a get, there ain't no get, and therefore we accent that position. Okay, so let's go weiter. We quote the Mishnah, Amenash titni li mikan v'yashloshim yom v'chule. We have in the Mishnah case, the man says this will be a get if you give me within 30 days the 200 zuz. So if you give within 30 days, she's divorced. If you don't give within 30 days, the tnai is never fulfilled and she's not considered divorced. Mora says, pshita. You know, we pretty much got it. We understand. You fulfill the tnai, you're divorced. You don't fulfill the tnai, you're not divorced. So what's the Mishnah telling us? So Mora says, no, I might have thought, ma'u detema, I might have said, kepeda, lav kepeda, that this being rock, but you got to give it to me within 30 days. He didn't really mean you have to give it to me within 30 days. If you don't give within 30 days. However, he wants to get his money. And therefore, ulizarza ka'asi. He says, no, listen, you're a divorced woman. As long as I get the 200 zuz. If I don't give you a time limit, you'll pay me back 3 years later, maybe. You'll give me the money 3 years later. So therefore, he says, you got to give it to me within 30 days. But I might have thought he didn't mean it. And if she gives it on 31, she's still divorced. Kamashwala, no. He said 30 days. You either fulfilled it tonight within 30 days, or you're not considered divorced. Okay. And according to Mishnah, we brought down the seemingly non sequitur of Amar Shimon Gamliel, Maisa B'tzidon v'chule. We had the case in Sidon where the man said, you're divorced if you give me back my itzlis, my certain type of cloak or coat. And she, in fact, lost the coat, but she gave some money. So Shimon Gamliel said that the Chacham hold that she's still divorced. Where it says, my tane, the tane Maisa. This comes out of left field. Why are we telling us this story, Shimon Gamliel, about this Maisa B'tzidon? So Gamliel says, as I mentioned, Chisur Masav Al-Chitone, there are words missing from the Mishnah over here. Again, I always like to say this. I said it many, many times. Forgive me for repeating, but it's such a beautiful Shlomo Kluger who says that when we have Chisuri Matzra, it's because Rebbe, in this situation, understood that he was writing down Mishnais, which is supposed to be Torah Shabbat Pet, and you're not supposed to write it down. So every now and then, he would leave out certain parts to remind us, yeah, I left out certain parts because we're not supposed to write this down. It's only because this Skat Noadaras, that the generations have become weaker over the years, that we can't learn them all by heart. Imagine if we had to do the Gemara by heart. Imagine if we were doing the Shia, I was trying to say the Shia by heart, and you were trying to listen to it by heart. So it'd be very, very difficult, if not impossible, for 99% of the people. So therefore, Rebbe saw, if you don't, well, write it down, the Torah would be lost. The Mishnayos wouldn't be learned anymore. And when Ravina Ravashi wrote down the Gemara, they said the same thing. So therefore, Rebbe wants to keep us on our toes and to say, listen, every now and then there's a Chisur Mechzorah, and remind ourselves that this shouldn't be written down, but never, what can we do? So in any event, Chisur Mechzorah, the words are missing from the Mishnah. These are the words that are missing. The case is as follows. The Mishnah would have continued and said, if the man said to his wife, you're divorced on the condition that you return me my cloak, the obda it's the lisu, and the Mishnah then said, if she lost the cloak in this situation, it's the lead say dafka kamar law or not. So the Tanakhama says, yeah, it means in fact that you must return the cloak. If the cloak's not there, sorry, you didn't fulfill the tanai. And along comes Rishon Galil to tell us, Rishon Galil omer, titain lo as damel. It will be enough if he returned the value of the garment. Because the Omer Rishon Galil, Maisa, Nami, Betsido, oh, there once was such a Maisa in Sido, and this is now a Maisa that is a Raya. We always bring a Maisa to support something. And oh, here we have a Maisa to support what Rishon Galil said. This exact case happened in Sido. The man said, you're divorced if you give me back my cloak. And she, in fact, lost the cloak. And the Chacham said, you have a Chacham, titain lo as damel. Exactly like Rishon Galil said. And you, in fact, will be divorced. Oh, now we understand where the Mishnah comes in with the Maisa of Rishon Galil, Maisa Betsido. Mori asked the following shiloh, boy mine Ravatsi Rav Yochanan. Ravatsi asked Rav Yochanan the following question. If man said to his wife, I raise a gitech, I'm in ash, it's lima, sayim zuz. The man says, you're divorced if you give me 200 zuz. And then he says, listen, I want to be out of this marriage no matter what. She's not giving me the money. Maybe she doesn't want to get divorced. So he says, listen, I take it upon myself as if I got the 200 zuz. I mocha you the 200 zuz. So now, do we consider that like he got the 200 zuz, the tanai is fulfilled, and she is divorced? No, he has to give her a new get and divorce her with a new get, because if she doesn't give him the money, the fact that he's moichel the money, that won't allow the divorce. That's the question of Asi Yisrael Yochanan. And the Gemara says, this question goes to Boil Rabbanan and to Boil Rishon Gamliel. This goes according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that says, you must dafka return the itzlis or you're not divorced. And it goes according to the opinion of Rishon Gamliel, who says, the Chacham hold that as long as you give the value of the itzlis, if the itzlis isn't there, then you're still considered divorced. So, let's go through this. To Boil Rabbanan, you go according to the sheet of the Rabbanan that you must return the itzlis or else you're not divorced. So Akan, the Chachamim only said that you must return the itzlis or you're not divorced. Akan lokami Rabbanan hosam elo delo achlo gaba, because the husband said, I want my coat back. If you don't give me my coat back, so then you're not divorced. So he never was meichel on that. But here, Avol Hacha, in the case that Rav Asi Yisrael and Rav Yochanan, ha karma lo mechulamach, he is meichel. So maybe the Chachamim only say you must return the Itzlis when he demanded the Itzlis and he never was Michael. But Taka, if he would say, nah, you don't have to give him the Itzlis, you don't have to give me the 200 bucks, maybe the Chachamim would hold that he is divorced. So the question could be asked according to the Rabbanan Shita, or Dilma, or could we ask it according to the Shita of Rishon Galil? I feel Rishon Galil, lo kamar, the Rishon Galil only said, Ella, that it's okay if you give the value of the cloak because the car mefaisa lebit bay. Bottom line is, the husband got his 200 bucks worth. He didn't get it in the coat, but he got it in the value of the coat. So that's why Rishon Galil says that Chacham say that the divorce is effective in that situation because she paid him. He got something, even though he didn't get the itzlis. Avo legare, maybe in the case where the husband says, I moichel it, lo, he got nothing. And therefore, maybe Rishon Galil would say that Chacham would agree that in that situation, the woman is not divorced. So these are the two questions that Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, bein whether you're asking according to Rabbanan, or bein whether you're asking according to Shita Rav Gamliel. So what did Rav Yochanan reply? So Amalei, Rav Yochanan says to Rav Asi, eina migureshes. In this situation, when the husband is moichel the money, no, the woman is not considered to have given the money. The bottom line is, the husband said, when you give me the money. Now, he didn't get the money. He was moichel the money, but he didn't get the money, and therefore it's not considered valid divorce. No, you want to divorce her. Give her another divorce and say it, no tanayim on it. There are questions, this psak of Rav Yochanan that ain't a migureshes. Really? We have a Mishnah in the Darim that seems to negate this. Eitzvei, the Mishnah in the Darim says, if a man says to his friend, Konem Sha'ato Nenli, you're not allowed to get any hanah from me. Is a nether that you're not allowed to get any hanah from me unless in Miyatanosi Livni, unless you give my son a certain amount of items. Kur Echot Shochitin, a 30 saw, course 30 saw worth of wheat, Ushtei Chavio Shoyan, and 2 barrels of wine. So what's the did? In fact, is he allowed to go and give hanah to the other person or not? So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, no, you made a neder, and therefore, unless you get, your son gets the core of chitin and the 2 barrels of wine, you are not allowed to give that guy, konim sha'ato danli, you are not allowed to get any hanah from me. That's Rebbe's opinion. However, he can get out of this neder, even without going to Talmud Chacham to be matir the neder, because he could say, the Omer, Hareini Kiilu Iskabalti, because he could say, I consider myself as if I got the money. And therefore, he's essentially Moichel, the Kor Echa Shochitim Ushtecha V'Yosho Yayin. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, the din, in fact, is that you can be moichel. Now, Rav Yochanan seemed to say that you can't be moichel. Here the Chacham say you can be moichel. So we could align Rav Yochanan with Rav Meir, but he can't be aligned with the majority sheet of the Chachamim. So Kasha on Rav Yochanan. So Gemara says, Rav Yochanan would respond, says, Hoi Kasha, the two cases are incomparable. In the case with the 200 Zuz, with the divorce, Hasam, when Rav Yochanan said that you can't be mochel the money because Litzura kom mechavein velo tzira. He intended, obviously, to give her a hard time. He wanted to give her suffering. He wanted to give her tzar, not a nice guy, maybe, but he wanted to be Mitzara's wife, that you have to give me the 200 Zuz. And since, if he forgives her, he's not Mitzara, so the Tanai of the get is not fulfilled. It's only fulfilled when you give the 200 zuz. But here, in this situation, he wanted his son to get, you know, I'm going to do you a favor. You do me a favor. I want you to do a favor with my son. But it wasn't for tzar purposes. He just wanted to give his son the kur of chitin and the 2 barrels of wine. No, he changed his mind. Follow itzvich. Bottom line is, he changed his mind and said, fine, I consider it as if it's paid, and therefore you can get an offer for me. So therefore, Rav Yochanan says, you can't bring me a kasha from this mission in the Darb. It's not the same case. Gemara continues and says, how Gabri, the ones who's a person, the Amalei Larisa, he said to the Oris. Oris is a sharecropper of the type that they normally work for a percentage of the field. They work for, let's say, I'll take care of your field for you, but I'll take a quarter, a third, a half of the profit, whatever they arrange. So in this scenario, we're dealing over here with a man who hired a sharecropper. And he said, the normal rules of sharecropping in our area are Kuliyama, everybody else holds Dalu Talas, Dalvosa. You go and water, irrigate the field 3 times, and you'll be entitled the Ochli River, and you'll be entitled to take 1/4 of the produce of the field. That was the deal that was normally set up. There was a certain amount of work involved to irrigate the field 3 times, and for doing that, you'll be entitled to go collect 1/4 of the crops. But I want to make a special deal with you. I really want to have a bounty crop, and therefore I would like an extra irrigation of my field. At you, Mr. Sharecropper, Deli Arba, go and irrigate my field 4 times, and for that extra effort that you're putting in, the Echol Tosa, I'll let you have 1/3 of the produce of the field. And this was the deal that they made, and the sharecropper agreed to it. No, he was supposed to irrigate the field 4 times. But what happened? Lesof also Mitra. He irrigated the field 3 times and was going to irrigate the field the 4th time when all of a sudden the rains came and there was no need to irrigate the field the 4th time. So what's the halacha in this situation? Does he get 1/3? Like he was promised if he irrigated the field 4 times, and the bottom line is the field was irrigated 4 times, albeit only 3 times by him and 1 time by the rain, or do we say, no, you only get 1/4 because you only irrigated the field 3 times? That's the question. So, Amar Yosef, Yosef says, ha lo dollar. Bottom line is, the guy did not go and irrigate the field 4th time, so he's not entitled to get 1/3. He only gets 1/4 of the crops. And Rab, bottom line is, hello, it's Tricha. He didn't need to go irrigate it 4 times. The rain came. So it was his good luck, so to say. So it's as if he ordered it 4th time, and therefore he's entitled to 1/3 of the crops. So the Gemara says, Lema Rav Yosef, the Omer Karbonin. It looks like Rav Yosef holds like the opinion of the Chachamim, that in fact, unless you actually return the itzdalis itself, so then the woman is not considered divorced. Unless you actually irrigated the field that 4th time, we don't say, well, you got the value of the irrigation. You got the value of the itzlis. No. Want the bedafka the itzlis. Want bedafka the field to be irrigated 4th time. And you did not. So therefore, let us say that Rav Yosef holds like the Chachamim, and therefore you're only entitled to 1/4 of the crops and not 1/3 of the crops. And let us suggest that Rabbah, the Amakir of Shimon Gamliel, that Rabbah holds like Shimon Gamliel. Hey, you don't have to return the itzlis. You can return the value of the itzlis. Here too, you didn't have to irrigate the field 4th time. You had the benefit of the field being irrigated 4th time. And therefore, Rabbah holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore he would be entitled to return the value of the itzlis, and as long as he irrigated the equivalent of the field 4 times, 1 time was for natural rain, so then he's entitled to 1/3. So let us set this up. Rav Yosef is like the Rabbanan, and Rabbah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Gemara says, no, really? You think that that's true? That's not true. V'tisbra, you think that that's true? But Kaimelon Hilchasa Kivasi the Rabbah. We have a rule that whenever Rabbah and Rav Yosef argue, when there's a machlokus between Rabbah and Rav Yosef, the bottom line is that we always pass him with 3 exceptions, like Rabbah. So in this situation, if you're setting up Rabbah to be like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that would mean that we pass him like Rav Shimon Gamliel. However, we have another rule. Ubaha, we normally pass him with Rav Shimon Gamliel in a Mishnah, except the three cases. Whenever Rishon Gadol tells us something in the Mishnah, we pass like him, except the three cases. And this is one of those three cases where we know that we don't pass like Rishon Gamliel. So if you're telling me that Rabbah holds like Rishon Gamliel, we got a problem. Two of our rules are in opposition to each other. We normally pass like Rabbah over Rabbi Yosef, but here we know we don't pass like Rishon Gamliel. So how can Rabbah be holding like Rishon Gamliel? That's the question. And the Gemara says, therefore, Eloliolim ki Rabbanan. Both Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef are working within the Shita of the Chachamim that you must return the Yitzlis or else you're not divorced. Aye. That's simple to understand. Rabbi Yosef, ki Rabbanan, that's very simple. Rabbi Yosef says that in this situation, he didn't irrigate the field the fourth time. He holds exactly like the Rabbanan that if you don't give back the Yitzlis, you're not divorced. So therefore, in this situation, you didn't irrigate the field the fourth time. You're not entitled to a third of the crop. You're only entitled to a quarter of the crop. Very simple, like we just said. Rabbi Yosef, ki Rabbanan. But here, we want to suggest that the rabbi could also hold like the chachamim. The rabbi, amalach, anah, the amri, afil, the rabbi. My shita is certainly in accord with the Rishon Gamliel, like we just said. But it's even in accord with the opinion of the chachamim, that if you don't return the yitzlis, you're not divorced. Why? Because ad kan lo kami rabbi hotzam, the rabbi said in that situation, that you bedav kabas, return the yitzlis, or else you're not divorced, because he wanted that cloak just to irritate his wife. He wasn't interested in the value. He wants that cloak back. He knows she liked it. He wants that back. He wants to go and bother her to give her tsar. Here in this situation, he just wanted his field irrigated four times so it would be bigger crop. And bottom line is, all the Witzuch didn't need it. So in fact, Rabbah could say, I also hold in general like the Itzlis position of the Chacham that you must return the Itzlis. But here, it's for a different reason and therefore, lo Itzricha. So therefore, we can paskin like Rabbah over here, and we don't have a problem because he's not holding like Rishon Gamliel, and even though this is one of the cases where we don't paskin like Rishon Gamliel, that's not a problem to Rabbah. Okay, now we have another Mishnah. We learned in a Mishnah Arachin, Tanan Hasan, we learned in Arachin, Barishona, Haya Nitman, Yom Shneim Asar Chodesh. What's the din? When a person buys a house from somebody else, and it's what's called a Bate Arechoma, it's within the city, so then the person who purchases it is his possession, the house, unless the original owner wants to buy it back within 12 months. Then he has the right to forcibly take it back. In other words, even Baal Karcha, even though the person he sold it to says, hey, I like the house, I'm happy with the deal that we made. So the original owner can say, no, I want my house back. So if he does it within 12 months, he's entitled to it. After 12 months, he's not entitled to do that. So what would happen? The Mishnah in Arachin tells us, Barishon Hayonitman Yom Shnei Masa Chodesh, on that end of the 12th month, when the last day that the original owner could go get it back from the person he sold it to, so the person who bought it wanted to keep the house, so he would hide. He wouldn't let the other guy come into contact with him, so he wouldn't be able to go and have to return the house to the original owner, because the original owner couldn't find him to give him back the money. So Rishon HaYonitman Yom Shnei Masa Chodesh, in order that the deal would be cholut. Cholut, we have like by Mitzoras, he's Mitzorah Muchlat, it's definitive, it's final. So therefore, this would make the seal the deal by making it final, because he didn't get his money back by the end of the 12th month. So therefore, he would hide. So Hilazakin didn't like that, because he said, listen, the guy is allowed to buy it back, you can't just hide. So Hiskin Hilazakin, he made the following takana. Shehei cholesh es ma'osav l'lishka. He could go put his money down. The lashon of cholesh Rashi says is zorek. He can throw it down, so to say, into a special lishka, throw it to the basement, basically, and say, this money is for me to buy back my house. They show their esadelis, and now he owns the house. So he can go in and break down the door, the nichlas, and take over his originally owned house, because it's within the 12 months, and he has the halachic right in Ari Bati Choma to go and get his house back. Now, the Amosai Sheyirtz Halah, and now that money is there. So whenever the purchaser wants to go take the money, Yavav Yitol Smosav, but the house no longer belongs to him. He wants the money. He's going to take. Go get your money back. It was given. However, the house no longer belongs to the purchaser. It goes back to the seller. Now, that was the Mishnah in Arachin. The Amar Rava. Rava said, nishma, from this gezerah, this takana that Hillel set up, we learn out the following din. That if a person says, if a man would say to his wife, this is your get, on the condition that you give me 200 zuz, and if she gave the money with his agreement, so then she's migureshes. But if she tries to give him the money and he changes his mind and says, no, I'm not accepting it, al karcho, eina migureshes. Rava says, from the fact that Hillel had to be masakin that you can give something bal karcha, the default position is that you can't give something bal karcha. So in the case of the get, if the husband says, your get is a good get, if you give me $200, but then he changes his mind, doesn't accept the $200 of her, in fact, she's not divorced. Since Hillel had to make takana, that in this case of bat yari choma, that you in fact could go and forcibly give the money back, bal karcha of the person who purchased it, so only in that situation is it then that you can give the money bal karcha. Nesina bal karcha, the habil nesina. Only in that situation is the nesina considered a valid nesina. But the default position is, as we turn to Ayin Hamad Aleph, miklal de be'alma, in general, the halacha is nesina bal karcha lo habi nesina. In general, a nesina in that fashion, bal karcha, is not considered a valid nesina, not considered a good giving of money. Okay. Maskler Rapapa of Yitam Rav Simi Barashi. Either Rapapa or Rav Simi Barashi is the following Shaila on what Rava just said. Dilma, maybe not. Vidilma ki Yitzrich Leila Tikune. Maybe Hillel had to set up his takana because Shalom Befana, because the person who brought the field wasn't there. And that's why he'll have to say that in this situation, Baal Karcha, when he's not there, works. However, Abol Befana, if the person is there, Taka, Hillel wouldn't have to be masakin it. Maybe Dr. Bim Bal Karcho having a sina. So there's no proof over here to Rava's din, because maybe Hillel only set it up for a case Shalom Bifanov. But in fact, if it was Bifanov, you can force him to take it Bal Karcho. That's the first version that we have of this discussion. Because the Amrei, others said that when Rava's takana was as follows: Amar Rava, mi takana, so shel Hillel, harei zegitech. From the takana of Hillel, we can see that the get is in fact a good get in general. Not that it's not a good get, but it is a good get, because Amanash Titli Li Masayim Zuz. In fact, we see from Hillel's case that whether the husband wanted to accept the 200 zuz or not accept the 200 zuz, the wife could give it to him bal karcha, because he said, you're divorced when you give me the 200 zuz, and that implies even bal karcha. That is considered bein midato bein bal karcha having a sina. It is considered a valid giving of the money. Aye, then why did Hillel have to make his takana? Hillel had to go and make the takana for the case of Shalom Bifanov, only for the case when he wasn't there. In fact, Bemidato Bein Bal Karcho having a sina. This, in fact, would be a good nesina. That's the second version of Rava. And again, here we ask the question: Maskel Rapapa Bitem Rav Simi Rashi. Here, Rapapa or Rav Simi Rashi asks the following shaila: Bidulma Afilu Bifanov Nami. Maybe even in the case of Bifanov, the din would be Midaito in, only if he said yes. Am I willing to accept it? Is it good? And Al Karcho Lo. And in general, it wouldn't be good. However, that's why the Hillel, my dear, is late talking. That's why Hillel made the takana. But the default position is that if it's bal karcha, it normally is not accepted, and that's why he'll have to come along and make it, and therefore there is no definitive proof to Rava from that Mishnah. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.